About half a sentence to rewrite on the sadly lost letter before I send it to Nick. So I will be typing away, definitely paying plenty of attention while we discuss this next very important item. Pierre and Marilyn, thank you so much for taking your time to join us for a short while at our meeting. It's terribly important that the regional representatives who are on the at-large advisory committee are enthused and ready to encourage their regions, their at-large organisations, and of course they might want to put in some personal comments back on the President's Strategic Committee's current work. I do recognise that we did have an opportunity to meet together in Cairo, but what we haven't done, due to a fairly packed set of demands on us, there seems to be an awful lot of public comments and, gee, this other small thing called an at-large review going on. We didn't want to lose the momentum, and I think to have an opportunity to revisit some of the matters and open for a short period of time some discussions and questions from this group tonight and ensure that the regions are well and truly clear that it is their role to create the opportunity for the at-large structures to have some comment on the work that you're doing, to encourage those at-large structures, in other words, the grassroots part of our organisation, to comment directly where possible, to feed those comments through the regions so a regional specific view might be wrought, and for the regions via either their non-com appointees giving a general opinion or the two elected appointees from each of the regions forming the ALAC, bring those regional views, the diversity or similarity of them, to us so that we can have a global one. Marilyn, did you or Pierre wish to speak in any particular order? Cheryl,
before we start, how much time is allocated for this section?
I would assume probably 10 to 15 minutes, if that's suitable for everyone.
That's including questions and comments from
unless there's
the committee.
Extreme energy, that would be fine.
Sherry?
But Marilyn, did you want to kick off? We do have some new members in the at-large advisory committee. Unfortunately, not one of them is with us tonight. So you're actually not speaking to the new people whom we had hoped you would be speaking, but I can assure you that the transcript will be something we'll be directing them to. So it is perhaps an opportunity for the small introduction and background as well.
Terrific. I'm all right. My name is Marilyn Cade, and many of you know me. I might just say that in addition to being a member of the President's Strategy Committee, I do define myself as one of the chief advocates of the model that I can represent, and I do promote myself as an architect of that model. So I'm going to announce, first of all, that my email is marilynscade@hotmail.com. I know Pierre will do the same. And to say that for anyone who is not able to be with us today and who has questions for the PSC, we would welcome your asking those questions either through your normal channels or even individually to us, if I might say that first. The PSC process, the PSC was established to provide broader advice to the board on strategic challenges. Now, I want you to understand that that was the purpose of the PSC, and the reality is we perhaps have not promoted that purpose very well, but we should make it very clear that strategic challenges are what the PSC is to advise the board on. We do not define the outcomes. Finally, that is up to the board, but we do provide advice. And a key issue that emerged was the transition. after the during the JPA notice of inquiry public session hosted by the U.S. Department of Commerce, Peter Dengate Thrush, the chair of the board, tasked the PSC to undertake the outreach to the community about how to meet the community's interest related to the transition. The PSC has put forward some ideas and concepts, but we are dependent on the community to provide comment on those concepts and to tell us where those concepts are adequate and where they are inadequate. And I will say one further thing. We do not, as the PSC, determine the rest of the work of the organization, but we may be able to carry key messages to the rest of the organization, such as the strategic plan, that if the transition is to be successful, these other changes are necessary, or these highlights are necessary in the rest of the work of the organization. So let me give you a concrete example. In the conduct of outreach, we have heard as the PSC that we have not done enough outreach with the PSC members into the community. If that is the view of the at-large, then that is what you need to make clear. If you want specific kinds of outreach, that is what you need to make clear. We as the PSC are chartered with then trying to devise how to meet the expectations of the community about the transition. Many people who have spoken today already about the transition have said that ICANN does not yet have suitable accountability mechanisms, and that should be a priority. Your voice on what suitable accountability mechanisms would be very important. I don't want to take a lot of time on the specifics, but just to say that I really encourage and respect the fact that you are focused on this, but I also want all of you to understand you should speak with your individual voices, not only with your aggregated voices. And by that I mean, I really welcome the participation at all levels of the ALAC. If people are waiting to submit an aggregated comment into ICANN, that sometimes loses the individuality and the important understanding of the individual or the regional or the national perspective of an organization. We will not be able to address all of the expectations, but we can listen to them and try to understand and reflect that understanding into the larger PSC comments.
Marilyn is standing with a question.
I'm happy to take questions, but should we hear from Pierre first?
Sure.
Well, yeah, maybe I should briefly add on to what Marilyn has just said. I'm Pierre Dandino, a member of the PSC. Of course, I'm also actually within AFRINIC, which is the African Internet Registry. I'm on the board, and I do attend some other issues pertaining to internet development, you know, in the Africa region. And thank you very much for inviting me to this, and as I always say, you know, LIC is my home, and I also sympathize with what Cheryl has just said, that, well, we need to hear more about the regions. It's quite important. I will not go over what Marion has just, you know, said, which is quite true. It's about the role of the PSC. We only put advices there, and then the board decided. I agree totally with what Marion said, that we should not just wait for an aggregate, you know, response from the LAC per se. Maybe we need to hear more on individual voices from different parts of the LAC. I do agree with that. I want to put two things into perspective, which is the GPA, the end of the GPA, which is September 2009. And also, some of you have probably attended the IGF, and the end of it, at least the first round, will be 2010. So in between, things will be happening, certainly. And to go back to this idea of transition, the PSA has conducted a few sort of, you know, we try to hear more and more people. We do have a few regional sort of meetings. Now, what we are seeing is that maybe we didn't conduct enough of those outreach, you know. So, as Marlin said, then maybe you need to voice this out as ALSC, that we need more of this. I'm not going to go through the key issues, but at least there were five of them, and that actually the PSA tried to work around. And briefly, they are capture, and now we should be aware that when we mean capture, it can be internal, but it also can be external. And the role institutions such as ITU would like to be playing. You know, it's important to actually see convene those and know exactly what's about and what it means for ICANN. The other issue is about accountability, and one that is quite important, especially to developing countries, is this internationalization, you know, the whole thing, and then how ICANN itself could stay financially, you know, and professionally secure, and finally, and what role it has to play when it comes to a stable internet. These are the key issues. Of course, we may have others. So, basically, maybe what we need to know now is the next step when it comes to the work of the PSC, so that if you want to send any comments, any contribution, that you figure that one into your agenda. I understand the next step, once that we already produced a few documents. Some of you might have come across this institutional, you know, confidence building with the document that was there. We are now running towards what we are calling a design phase of kind of draft implementation plan for public discussion. So January, end of January, was supposed to have, you know, this design phase should start. And publication of draft implementation plan sometime in March 2009. And of course, this will table to the board that will take a decision. So which means that we don't have apparently much time on this. I wanted you to know about this timetable and eventually see how you could further contribute on that. I think that's basically what I would like to say here. Of course, there are a few issues.
Pierre, if I might just add one point to what you said about the five areas.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to the five key areas that Pierre has mentioned, because of the input that we have received from the community so far, we've actually added a sixth category or topic, and that is the reinforcement of the model, the multi-stakeholder, bottom-up, consensus-based, participatory model that ICANN was built on, and the reaffirmation of that model. So the future documents that you see from the PSC have the five key issues that Pierre has mentioned, and a sixth topic, which says, so, you know, which is the reinforcement, revalidation of the model of private sector, using the broad definition of private sector to mean everything except governments and IGOs, international governmental organizations. So, but by that we mean, with the participation and advice of those entities, but built on civil society, technical, commercial, with the advice and support of governments. And we're doing that because, as you may know, the model is under attack in certain other settings. And the community to date has sort of reinforced their support for the original concepts of the white paper in that area.
Yeah, Marlin is right. And briefly, if you remind, I was alluding to the IGF as well. because this multi-stakeholder approach also is what IDF is doing. And at some point, we need to link it with whatever development we are seeing or we would like to put up there when it comes to the transitional phase of ICANN. Yes, I think Marine is right that this also is going to be part of our thinking in the coming days. I think basically this is what I wanted to say, but maybe I should leave it to maybe if you have questions and then help us elaborate more on the issues. Thank you.
Thank you, Pierre, and thank you very much, Marilyn. I'd like to call for anybody who has a question now. You can ping me on Skype or you can give me a hello, I'd like to speak now. Danny, did you have your question?
Yes, I have a couple questions for Marilyn.
Okay, seeing as you're first in the queue, go ahead.
Number one, as a business person, I'm sure you understand the importance of documents coming out that are fairly easy to manage. When the most recent strategic plan was given to the community, we saw no highlights indicating what changes have been made to the prior year's documents. Nor did we see any specific contributions that could be pegged to your particular group. As you move forward in the process, perhaps you could make it easier for all of us by perhaps generating redlined documents or at least forwarding that request to appropriate staff. The second more urgent question that I've got is on the topic of capture. I'm one of many that views ICANN as having been captured by the contracted parties. I see multiple regional registrar gatherings funded every year by ICANN with no equivalent for non-contracted parties whatsoever. Has the committee started thinking about recommendations to deal with the internal capture issue?
Both excellent questions, and I might sort of say that I would really welcome input to the PSC about these issues that link these two topics to the successful transition. And let me explain how I see the relationship. First of all, in the PSC, we are providing advice and guidance and asking for that advice and guidance to be thought about within the normal processes of ICANN, so that would include within the planning for the PSC. I do note and agree with Danny that I can't find in the strategic plan at this point the financial support for the transition. I will tell you that I have raised that issue within the PSC, and it is a topic yet to be discussed. I believe the transition of ICANN will have a budgetary figure next to it and must have a budgetary figure next to it. And I say that because to do effective outreach between now and 2009, I really believe that the PSC members need to be present in each of the regions. They need to be listening to the community just as they listen to the community in the Washington, D.C. event. Very, very different from having me or Pierre or Jean-Jacques individually go with ICANN staff to a meeting that is taking place. I think the majority of the PSC needs to be listening. And that means events that are organized, whether they're conference calls or they are video conferences or they are face-to-face. They're events that give the broader part of the community access. So that has a dollar amount to it. I don't know what that dollar amount is. I think that also the analysis of the comments that the community has already provided put into easy-to-understand documents and translated into multiple languages is essential so that the community can read those documents and say, okay, I agree with this, I disagree with this, here's my further comment. And that, I think, is something that the PSC is called. I can tell you the PSC has asked for that. I can also acknowledge we haven't yet delivered that to you. On the question of capture, I think we are faced with a really interesting challenge, and this is something that I really need to understand from all of you. As someone who architected and contributed to the original design of ICANN, I wrote the words with the advice, support, and participation of governments, because I fully believed that we would not succeed without the advice, support, and participation of governments. I also stood strongly in front of the idea that governments would be more than advisory. I continue to stand strongly as an individual who does work with governments in many intergovernmental settings. I stand strongly in support of the advice, support, and participation of governments, but I stand strongly opposed to a change in the role of governments. That is my personal commitment and view. I, however, believe that we must enhance the participation of governments, and we must participate in our engagement and discussion with governments. That is the best way to avoid capture. It is the best way to incorporate and achieve a fully multi-stakeholder environment. To Danny's point, it is also the best way, I believe, to support the capture of any individual group by interacting and participating with the governments and with each other, and by ensuring that no party has a predominance over the equal voice and input of other parties. Today, I do think we have been captured by the contracted parties. But I believe that we can overcome that. And I believe that that is in the best interest of the contracted parties as well.
Thank you, Marilyn. Any other questions to be raised?
No, this is Wanda. Hi, Marilyn.
Hi, Wanda.
How are you? You just answered my first question, is about the government and the relationship we should have with them. And I do believe there is an important role to the government in this game. But in my opinion, they are growing too fast comparing to the other stakeholders in their in how they want their opinion to be considered. So it's something that really we need to get more feedback from the other side to guarantee that we will find out a more balanced way. That is always have been my concerns, as you remember.
Yes.
And let's try to my direct suggestion to outreach is here in Latin America, for instance. I will talk with Raimundo and try to make the Latin American list that we have about ICANN, there's 100 of people in that, to really discuss these issues and give them some feedback. We can do that in Spanish and in English, and people will understand better what is going on. It looks to me that we need to make some special movement, you know, direct enforcement to get the feedback from the communities. People are afraid to comment because most of the case they have no full understanding of the issues and the implications of these issues for the future.
So I'm going to make two comments that I would very much like to hear from you guys on. Some time ago, quite a long time ago, when I was on the GNSO Council, I insisted that we change the PDP, the policy development process, to start with the delivery of a well-established white paper, which explained the issue very clearly, regardless of what group you came from, whether you were government, civil society, business, technical. A white paper which is understandable, which is neutral, and which then empowered each group based on, because the documents need to be translated, it empowered each group to think about what their views were and what their understanding of the topic was, and then to generate questions that needed to be answered before we then began the development of a public policy process. As I meet with governments around the world, and I met with recently at the IGF, I met with Tanzania, with Cameroon, I met with several other governments, India, every one of those governments asked me the same question. Where is the initial neutral briefing on a topic that I can then take back to my community? And secondly, do you understand your timeline is wrong? So I think that to the PSC, while this is not perhaps, you know, here's our challenge. We cannot have a successful transition unless your community, unless the GAC, unless the business community understands the challenges and questions and the policy issues that ICANN is going to address. If our timeline is wrong because we can't meet 30 days or 28 days, and I will tell you I can't meet that timeline, if our timeline is wrong, if we're not giving proper upfront information as ICANN, while that's not a PSC issue, where we can help is to say to the board, these are the barriers to an effective transition. So if you believe that things like this are critical to your community fully participating, and that is what the GAC is telling me, then tell us that as the PSC, because those are the kinds of things we can help advise on changing.
May I add a few words here, a couple of words quickly? And Vanda, thank you very much for bringing this Latin American perspective. I have, I don't know whether it's a question, but I'm throwing it to all of us. You just mentioned that government would like to have their opinion, you know, heard or whatever. But we also know some governments are not just, it's not about opinion. They would like to have a say. They would like also to be doing a few things. And I believe that it all boils down to maybe a change in culture. You know, government, you know, are used to, okay, give orders, you know, control things. So maybe we need to engage with those governments. So maybe at a local level, there's something to do. At the regional level, there's something to do so that the individual users, for instance, are in a position to talk with the government, you know, so that some they also understand the need for a change in culture. Because if you don't do that, I don't see, I mean, the problem will still be complex, you know. And we all need some sort of education on those issues. So my issue is, you know, what are we doing on the ground to actually help educate some of the government? And I believe that ALAC should be doing some job there. But that was something that really, for me, is key if you really want to succeed in this transitional phase for ICANN.
Thank you, Pierre. I have Adam next, and I'm aware of our timing, so unless there's someone else pings me on Skype, Adam will be the last question. Go ahead, Adam.
Hi, Marilyn, Pierre, thanks very much for joining us, and especially so soon after Hyderabad. Quickly, I think the ALAC's issues, certainly on response times, on translation, must be very similar to the issues that the governments are facing. So it's a very good idea that we try and actually probably try and work with them and identify our community's similar needs. Marilyn, your point about governments and It was really the issues we've been hearing recently complaining, I suppose, about government's role in ICANN and people saying that they was almost cosmetic, was, I think, a quote. When I see that, I always wonder that people are looking at the bylaws and the fact that the governments are the ones who have to be listened to. It's in the bylaws that their opinion has to be listened to by the board. I'm not so sure that it seems like a very strong position to me, and I wondered how clear the power of the governments that gives governments potentially within ICANN is clear to them, if the people you're talking to are aware of the bylaw conditions.
I'm very happy to respond to this because when I look across the community broadly, I see that I seem to be one of the only individuals who is privileged to work at ICANN, at the IGF, and at the ITU. That is a privilege because I represent a multinational company who has a presence as a sector member at the ITU. And because I have an advisory role in relation to that, at ICANN, I'm free to participate. So the ITU, quite frankly, and we must be clear, it is not the same kind of multi-stakeholder environment that the IGF or ICANN is. It is a sector. It does have 191 countries as members. It does have 770 sector members. At the agreement of a chair of a committee or the secretary general, NGOs or civil society can be invited to participate. There are some working groups related to WSIS which are open to anyone. But broadly, it is an expert agency of the UN. And that is, I think, an important thing to remember, and that it is very important to understand, in my view, this is merely my view, I seek a coexistence and a cooperative, coherent, collaborative relationship between intergovernmental organizations of the UN that is not just the ITU, but that includes WIPO and UNESCO. And that is where I think the ALAC can provide an incredibly important message. That is the role of government advisory in ICANN is a powerful role. We take it seriously, and we wish to work with the governments from every stage in talking to the government representatives, understanding their views, and presenting our views, whoever our is, whether our is the ALAC, the business community, the technical community, the contracted parties. But we engage and interact within ICANN in an interactive way, welcoming the participation of government representatives at all levels. We haven't given that message. In my view, we have not given that message. You are willing to give that message. I am willing to give that message, but I think we need to work together to give that message and to work together to encourage government attendees to understand who we are and to interact with us. And while I really applaud the leadership that Cheryl has demonstrated in encouraging an interaction at the chairman level of the SOs and the advisory committee, I think at our next meeting, we should be thinking jointly between the business community that I speak for and you. We should be thinking, with Pierre's participation, we should be thinking about an interaction that is deeper, that involves interaction directly, welcoming interaction and dialogue between the government individuals who come to ICANN and each of us, so that we are, in fact, embodying and changing how governments participate in ICANN.
Until we do that, we are vulnerable to outside organizations that have a lot of resources. Until we reach to the government representatives that we know that are not participating and welcome them into ICANN, we are vulnerable. But we each know government contacts. And if we don't know government contacts, we can work together to identify government contacts and find a way to invite them and welcome them into the ICANN family. I think we need to make that step real.
Sebastian wishes to make a short point. Go ahead, Sebastian.
Yes, very short. It's to say that the organization of the summit of the users and at-large structure in Mexico, it's a very good point or time to elaborate on this discussion also, and I think it's important also for the post-GPA to show to the community that at large it's really a group of people engaged in the future of ICANN.
Thank you.
So, Pierre, might I ask you to join me in inviting the ALAC to invite the PSC to the summit, not only the board but the PSC.
Yeah, I think that is. Yeah, I think we should. Yeah, why not? It will be a good thing. Cheryl, will you guys consider this? What I was saying that we should find a way in actually engaging with the government at some point as individual users or elect.
It seems to me, and this is my personal opinion, that when we have a structure that, from a grassroots perspective, has national points of contact, it would be quite crazy not to. If we have at-large structures, which are, in my mind, as perfect opportunities to utilise these national points of contact. Yes, we need to be working to make genuine multi-stakeholder model that I believe we might just get to, if we get it right, actually a best practice one.
You know, Cheryl, if I might just say that I think we haven't built a good enough bridge between the ALAC and the business community broadly.
I agree with you. Yeah.
And I will say that because I just built a bridge. That is what I used to do for AT&T. And I just built a bridge between shared interest of business and 22 countries on a particular issue involving a UN conference. And one of the things that is really clear to me that I'd like to support doing more of is the interaction, early interaction, between the ALAC and the regional groups and the business representatives broadly distributed around the world, not to identify the things we don't agree on, but to identify the things we agree on. And then to Sebastian's point, figure out how we elaborate on that discussion and how we come together to strengthen ICANN. If I were to describe the diamond, and this is a new concept I've just been thinking about since being at the IGF, you know, the diamond model to me, it is not a pyramid, it is not a triangulation, it is a multidimensional dependency. We need to address the needs within the IGF. We need UNESCO. We need the ITU. We need ICANN. We need WIPO. We need the private sector. We need the NGOs. We need civil society. We need individuals. It is, in fact, a multidimensional diamond of dependencies, and that means we have to draw new relationships and new interactions. Just within ICANN, we must define our own diamond of interactions.
Cheryl, a follow-up question on Adam's point?
As long as it's extremely short at this. Go ahead, Danny.
Okay, fine. In the multi-stakeholder environment, when one group of people has more power than another group, the process falls apart. We've got bylaws that state that the when the board takes an action that's not consistent with GAC advice, it will inform the committee and state the reasons why it decided not to follow that advice, and then it'll try in good faith to find a mutually acceptable solution. We don't have that language applying to any other advisory committee. Why on earth are we giving excess powers to the government?
Oh, Danny.
Can I suggest that the forum important that we continue? I'd like to think this is not our last conversation either.
But Cheryl, I think there's a call to act here. Let me just quickly say, in the accountability mechanisms that the PSC is calling for, I think you must put forward the idea of the, look, one of the things the PSC called for was a mechanism for the community to change a decision of the board.
Mm.
Yep.
Danny's point is right on. How does the community broadly, and Danny, I mean broadly, how does the community broadly force a change of the board, of a board decision? We must have that as an accountability mechanism. The community must be able to trust that if they reject a decision the board has approved, it doesn't matter if it comes from the GNSO or the CCNSO or the ALAC, but broadly the community rejects it. We must be able to change that decision. If we cannot do that, the community will not trust its power and legitimacy. What is the mechanism by which we do that? The PSC has proposed an idea. You guys need to look at that idea and say, does that idea meet your expectations? Does it give you the trust that you're looking for?
Marilyn, can I just say, and it pains me actually, because this is something that, as you well know, I'm quite passionate about as well, that we have such a limited time to discuss this at this meeting tonight. I would like to think this is not a last conversation on this between the PSC and our at-large advisory committee and the at-large community, but it's simply a next step. With your permission, I would like to have staff, and they've said they can do it, extract this part of our recording, and it'll go in from all the languages as well. So it's a resource for all of those who are not with us tonight, because what's been said here and what's been discussed here in all too short a time, I think is vital for helping each of us at the edges to formulate the individual and group and then regional and then, of course, the ALAC responses that, unless we hear it as a chorus of voices, may not have the power that a single letter under the name of the ALAC would do. Are you in agreement with that, both Pierre and Marilyn? We can extract this and
No problem for me. That sounds a good idea.
I think that's a good idea, yes, Pierre.
Okay, thank you. If our community was to desire yet another opportunity to talk to you, it may happen. I would like to think that you both feel able and willing and more than welcome back.
Yeah.
Certainly.
And if there's no other discussions on this matter, what you've heard, please, regional representatives of the RILOs, take exactly what you've heard back. You'll have the tools. We need to foster these conversations at the edges, at the grassroots level, and get, as Marilyn was saying, individual comments as part of the voice as well as the wider community views. Thank you so much, both of you.
You're welcome.
And Pierre, thank you.
Did I hear it's night, Cheryl? Your place?
I'm sorry?
Who is this? Night?
Night. It's a little bit, it's 20 to 1 in the morning, Pierre.
Okay. Sorry for that. It's 2 o'clock here.
But it's usually later than this when we have our meetings, so I'm quite delighted. It's so early for me. Thank you very much. And you do realise that all of our at-large advisory committee meetings are open, and so you're more than welcome to drop on in at any other time, particularly Pierre, because we want to develop much closer working relationship with you. And to that end, I will be getting Nick to follow up with what we discussed in Cairo, and we have a particular regional representative, the chair of NARALO, who is happy to act as a single point of contact, an ongoing single point of contact between ourselves and you. So I'll get Nick to pursue that. Thank you both very much for the energy and time you've taken with us tonight. But we have a couple of policy discussions that we do need to get back to. You're more than welcome to stay, but we will be returning to our agenda right now. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we have a number of items for decision at this meeting, but we have a couple of standing agenda items which I am going to propose we go over. By go over, I mean skip over. To my knowledge, there is no current ALS application that is ready for the vote. Nick, say yes or no.
Hello, this is Pierre.
Yes, go ahead, Pierre. Thank you, Nick. Pierre, you had a final word?
I think he's left.
I guess he left.
Left.
Okay, good. Okay, not a problem. I thought he was trying to say something else. So I think if we can just get people to have a look at that current status of ALS applications rather than spend now on it, that would be good. If we go perhaps in reverse order, because of the importance and not wanting to run out of time in the now less than 10 minutes we have left, can I take it in the reverse order for decisions at this meeting by going 6, 5, 4, 3, 2 and 1? Does that work for everybody?
A countdown.
Yep, I think a countdown's quite appropriate. In which case, the first one is going to be the ALAC position on whether the proposed RAA amendment package should be approved by the GNSO. Alan, I'm going to toss to you on that one.
Okay. To make it clear, the ALAC does not have a vote on this. However, our opinion was the first one asked for at the first discussion of this. To summarize the current situation, ICANN legal staff has come to the conclusion that for the RA amendments to pass, they have to be treated as a consensus policy, which according to the current registrar agreement means they have to be voted on by the GNSO in addition to some other activities which either have already happened or will happen.